broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 222 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, comic news, tropes, and web fiction, all at webcastbeacon.com. Check it out. I'm Fess of ArdraComic.com, and with me we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
We did have another co-host we're going to try out on the show for our third spot, but we have too many people on this show, so we'll have to check her out next week. This week, it is a showcase of Hound Comics at houndcomics.com, in which we have three different comics from there with five different guests on to tell us all about what they work on. First off, we have... he goes by Luscious from, you work on the comic Brimstone, correct?
I'm technically a living character.
A living character. Awesome. Well, welcome to the show.
What was that?
I said welcome.
Thank you.
And, and along with Luscious, we do have Mina, from the same comic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to the comic M3, we have Vicente, all the way from España, on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
And with him, we have Erica from the same comic. Welcome to the show.
Hola.
And from the comic The Protector, we have just one person from that group. We have Chris Notarelli, who is the writer. Welcome to the show.
I am the creator.
You're
Hi.
The creator. Well, it just says writer here in my email.
The creator.
I blame Eddie. So.
God of the protector.
Yes. Well, let's start off with... the Luscious and Mina, you do the comic Brimstone. If you could describe or plug that comic, tell us about what it is.
I'm actually... I'll take this, Lush. I'll take this. I actually work on a side project called Jaguar House, which is a part of Brimstone and the Border Hounds. But if I were to actually make this a plug, I would simply say that hell, if I'm allowed to use that word, it basically hell is a corporation that buys and sells souls. And our good friend Brimstone and the other Border Hounds collect those souls for the corporation. So that's a basic synopsis of what that comic is.
So Luscious, you say you're a living character. Does that mean that you're actually self-inserted into the comic? Or did you escape from the comic?
The character of Luscious is drawn after me as far as looks and personality is... based on me. It's basically my personality with, you know, just the volume bumped up to like a million watts.
No, it's not. It's dead accurate.
But yeah, like she said, it's basically the afterlife, all the places that you've heard of, you know, like Nirvana, Heaven, Hell, all this. They're all just different corporations. And Brimstone the Border Hound, was just one of the people that work for the corporation that would be known as Hell, which we usually call the Wasteland. But our job is to make sure that the souls stay there. We, you know, if anyone escapes, our job is to go get them. But our main purpose, yeah, we're basically border patrol for the afterlife.
That's awesome.
It's a pretty neat concept.
So where did this concept become to be or come to be?
Well, the character Brimstone, it's based off of our CEO president, which is who is Brimstone, who actually used to be a wrestler. He was actually involved in many facets of wrestling. He was even involved in WWF for a short while when it was still WWF. Mm-hmm. But it was back when it was character based. Like, you know how there's like the Undertaker and he has his whole character,
right?
Brimstone had his character, And he slowly, you know, got out of doing the wrestling so much and started focusing. You know, they basically sat down one day and they're like, the character Brimstone is a really good character. Why don't we do something with it? So him and Marcello Carnevali, the lead writer, who they've been friends with for years, they basically said, yo, you know, why don't we just take the character, the background story of the character, and just turn it into a comic. And it just slowly developed, and then they brought in, you know, the characters of Lushmi and then Dog, the other guy, as his backup team, and then it just kind of progressed from there.
All right. So kind of like the Warrior comic, but probably better than the Warrior
so
comic.
Much better.
Say that.
Oh no! It's how many other wrestlers have actually done some, or you know, wrestlers, performers like that that have actually broken off and made comic versions of it.
Not many. Anyone that signs a brand, like say you sign a contract with WWE or whatnot, they're not really allowed to take their character and do that. Brimstone was smart enough to hold true to the character that he has, and he didn't need to sign it away. So he actually was able to go through and create a world around it, around the idea. So props for that, because now I have a job. It's awesome.
So how old is the Brimstone character? Not in the lore, but like actually.
Oh, how long has he been doing Brimstone? I mean, I've known him, we were actually discussing this last night, I've known him going on almost 13, maybe 14 years now, and he was doing it for a while before I even met him, so it's probably at least 15 years at minimum.
Okay, so, yeah, so quite a while. let's see here, and, okay, we have the artist, you're the artist, and so... Wait a minute. Which one of you is the artist? I want to guess Mina.
I am an artist. I'm not. Actually, Sajad Shah is the lead artist for Brimstone the Border Hounds.
Okay.
I'm actually the lead artist for the Big Book of Luscious Chicken.
Okay. Now tell us about that one, since because you got to explain now.
All right. So if I were to explain this, it is a graphic novel style approach to a cookbook, and the way I like to think of it is, it's a big wreck. But not because it's a mess, but because it's supposed to be like Lush's handbook. Lush's, the character, loves chicken. He loves to eat chicken. His life is about chicken. Kind of like Gonzo from the Muppets. But
I think Gonzo likes live chickens.
He likes live chicken. Lush likes to eat the chicken.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, Gonzo like really likes the chickens, you know, so.
So if Gonzo were to eat Camilla, he would be Lush.
If Gonzo were to eat Camilla, he might be prosecuted.
Technically, I think it'd be cannibal. Isn't he supposed to be a chicken or something?
No, he's not.
He's an
Gonzo's
alien.
Weirdo.
He's an alien.
He's a weirdo.
No, he's an alien.
Is the actual term for him. He's a weirdo.
But technically, I think he's an alien, because in Muppets from Space.
Oh, it's terrible. Don't even mention that movie. It was so bad. but the Big Book of Luscious Chicken, to veer back in. Away from the Muppets. to veer back with that, it is a graphic novel approach to a cookbook. So whereas you have the steps on how to make each of these delicious recipes, you also have comics that go with whatever Lush says. So, I mean, that's the way I've been setting it up and going along. And it's been a really, really fun project. And it's really very, very different from what a lot of... from our main series, Brimstone the Border Hounds. It's very, it's very, what's the term I'm looking for?
True to Luscious, I guess?
Yeah, beautiful. it's Luscious. It is the character. It's him on pages, not him drawn out. It's just, it's his personality.
It's, you know what it is? Because the comic itself, Brimstone the Border Hounds, it's more of a serious style as far as the storyline. But Luscious is more like, as somebody described it to me, he's like Chewbacca and Barf from Spaceballs.
Yeah.
He's like the comic relief. So the whole cookbook itself is more on a fun tone than Brimstone the Border Hounds.
And I mean, there's even scenarios in the book where he's messing with the other characters and really making them angry.
Right. I mean, in the comic alone, he makes references and sings and stuff randomly, you know, while they're in the middle of doing like important stuff. You know, so he's all happy-go-lucky.
We lost a couple of people. We're going to try to get Vicente back. There's Mina.
I'm here.
We're calling Vicente back. Hello.
Hi.
Yep, you're back. We hear you. Oh, no. Now we lost somebody else.
It's not me. I'm still here.
All right. Well, thanks to Erica and Luscious for their contributions to this. We're going to try to move on to these people keep dropping and connecting. Probably should try to get Vicente next. Mina, you still here?
It was Mina and Luscious that do Brimstone.
Yeah.
Hello?
I mean, although Hello. Eric and I are now.
Oh, wait.
So.
I'm sorry. There's just so many people on the show. I do apologize. Yes, of course, it's Mina and Luscious who are working together.
Although Mina and I apparently share a liver now.
We do.
Yes.
So. We get drunk very fast.
Yes. Just smelling wine and we're already, you know.
Our liver's crying.
Hello. Hopefully the connection will stay with us this time. We do want to move on to M3, of which we have Vicente is the artist and Erica is the writer.
Yes.
And somebody keeps disconnecting, but hopefully this will still work. So let's start with Erica, since you're the writer. Tell us what is M3 and what is it about?
M3 is a crime thriller. It's a departure from Brimstone and the Border Hounds because Brimstone's more of a hola Vicente. Because
Hello?
Are you here? Tu aquí? I think Vicente keeps getting dropped. Brimstone is a very sort of supernatural comic, whereas M3 is based in the real world, in the sense that it's a crime thriller, and it's about a woman who basically has... I have Vicente calling me. Hold on.
Wait. I need to...
We will now take a brief intermission.
Please keep holding. We will connect you in a second.
Your phone call is important to us.
This is crazy having all these people on Skype.
Yeah.
The insanity!
Yeah. So as I was saying, M3 is a crime thriller about a woman who happens to be an assassin, and there's an FBI agent who's tracking her. And that's basically the Reader's Digest version of what the story's about.
Now, yeah, I have a little bit of a preview on the website. All these comics have a little bit of a preview on the website.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of as I'm gathering, as what I can tell from the 6-page preview, there's a bit of her past that may be coming into play in some of the, like, from the earlier comic books to the later comic books. Is that true? Am I inferring correctly?
No, yes, you're inferring correctly. The first comic of the series actually opens with her explaining how she got to where she was. And sort of explaining the backstory of why she is the way she is in sort of little snippets. So you see her as a little girl, and you see her parents, and you see the circumstances that cause her to sort of metamorphosize into what she becomes.
All right. Let's see here. And is the M3 supposed to be... I forgot what you said M3 was because I was trying to get Vicente back.
M3 is actually her initials. Her name is Machiavella Maria Marcona. And her name is 3Ms, and that's her initials. And it's actually... it's how she's referred to by other people in the comic because of the 3M names in her...
Not because they can't pronounce her name.
No, it's not because they can't pronounce her name.
Or remember it.
It's. You know what? She lived with me for a very long time before I put her on paper, so she sort of became very close to me in the sense that I had someone come up to me at a convention and say, The reason why I bought this comic book yesterday was because when I asked you the character's name, you answered me with the same gusto that someone would speak their own name. The way you said her name was as if you were telling me your own name. And it was just, I guess that really struck a chord with him. And then he bought the comic and loved it. And I was very thankful for him. Thank you, Leo.
Leo's a great comic.
Leo, thank you very much. That's because Mina's the best. But you know, the comic, honest, I have to say, the comic would be 1/10 as good as it is if it wasn't for Vicente, because when I approached him, he was doing a Jonah Hex comic, and I was just watching him do this artwork with my jaw on the ground. And just to see the pages, this man's art is just out of this world. And so I'm so blessed and so lucky to have him want to take this ride.
Thank you.
So Vicente, you're working on a Jonah Hex comic?
Oh, I work in Jonah Hex for a long time ago. I did a last one shot, 2 years ago? Or one
I think
year?
So, yeah. Yeah. It was the brief life of Billy Dynamite was the one shot you did.
Yeah, right. I think it was just for, you know, just vet artists were mm-hmm. called to do a chapter of the character they once drew. I drew it from 79 to 80. That whole year, I was doing it.
Mm. What else have you worked on?
You want the short version or the long one?
Well, if we're gonna get the long version, maybe we should take our first break. All right, so
I've worked for DC and Marvel and Warren and Archie magazines, and I've done a lot of things. I did one Conan, a big book of Conan.
Oh,
Satana, Daughter of the Devil. I did a lot of stories for Warren magazines, Creepy and Eerie. And then I went to rest. I went to painting, and I went back to comics like 3-4 years ago.
All right, do you keep up on any of the Marvel or DC comics these days?
I have to confess something. I don't read comics.
Well, that is quite all right.
Traitor.
I read the script that I'm working on.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Sometimes I take some liberties. But actually, I don't keep up very much with comics because I always look at the drawings. I never look at the story. I don't know. There must be something wrong with me, but when I see a comic, if I like the drawing, then I go all through the pages looking at the drawings. But it never, I just can follow up some scripts. I don't know what they talk about.
A little too much of just a little piece out of a bigger picture, and you need. Probably would need that bigger picture, and it's maybe just too much for you to have to get into at this point, because you got stuff to do.
Mostly, that's what happens all the time.
Well, all right. And so, how did you get to sign on for M3? How did Erica get you for this project?
Well, I begged.
Erica got me in a corner with a knife and a gun. And so I say, yeah. I happen to be in New York. I happen to be doing this Jonah Hex. Neil Adams always, whenever I go there, he lends me his studio facilities to do my work. And I met Erica, and Erica gave me the script, and I read it, and I said, yeah, let's do it. I like it very much. I like to draw settings, and there's a lot of settings in this script that let you travel with your mind to different cities and different countries, and I like that. Plus, I like the character. I like someone who's not really good, a good person. I mean, she is a good person, but going and killing people around is not a very nice
thing. She's human.
Well, how long finding out I'm not? I always like this kind of twist characters like Jonah Hex. I like Jonah Hex because he was a son of a bitch. I like that. I don't like heroes that are all good. I don't know what to do with them. I'm not that way, so I wouldn't know what to do with them. Good people give me the creeps.
Well, interestingly enough, we're going to be talking about the Protector next. I only had the 6-page preview, so I don't know if he is a son of a bitch or not. But we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll come back with Chris.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, and we're back, and we're going to move on to The Protector with creator Chris Notarelli. Tell us about The Protector.
Well, The Protector basically would be Vincenti's nightmare. He is probably the nicest and most wholesome superhero you can find. He is a good person. He basically is your Superman archetype, and the point of the character is to take everything that you loved about the golden age of comic books and bring them back into the modern world, but like I said, the book is told in the 1940s. So we have, you know, bank robbers with Tommy guns, we have, you know, your cape superhero, you have all these things that are reminiscent of the 40s and 50s serials, but in a comic book that we're making now.
Right, right. And even the art style lends itself to that aged look, as far as I've seen in the previews. So who do you have for the artist for this one?
My dad.
Really?
Yeah, dad is the artist of the book. I created the character, I wrote the script, and he drew it, and I colored it.
Excellent. And with The Protector, I've noticed a couple of live-action YouTube videos going on here. Tell us about what's going on there.
Well, we have made some live-action videos. We used an actor by the name of Nick Rock. He basically embodied the character pretty well, by the way. The first video I did was in 2006. That was the video that inspired everything. It was just a short film with no intention of doing anything else, but it was rather depressing. So I decided to, when we made The Protector into a happy story, we wanted to reboot the concept and everything, and we just did The Protector in his heyday of when he was, at his best. So we got a young, handsome man to throw on the outfit and just jump around Philly for a little bit. staring at me, actually. That's why I'm saying this.
Way back when the sort of like the catalyst, and this is even before the comic was inspired. It was,
right.
was created
in 2006. It was just a short film, a short film.
And from there, as far as like the other live action stuff that you've done, are they just like little bits here and there, or do you actually have aspirations to make like, say, a web series?
Well, this is basically the game plan. After I made the short film, a year went by, and I said to myself, you know, the first film was really good, but it's really depressing. Maybe I should do a part two, a happy ending. Because at the time, I had a very bleak outlook on comic books. I was very angry with what was going on.
Oh.
So I started writing a sequel, and as I'm writing it, I go, you know, screw it. Why don't I just turn the whole damn thing into a feature film? So I wrote a feature-length Protector script, and I tried to shop it around, and I tried to raise money, and no one wanted to give me money, and that sucked. I'm like, wow, this is really depressing, and I got a really good story, and the way I pitched it, I go, this is like Watchmen, but not depressing. And apparently, no one wanted to see that. Wanted to get money for that.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I basically said, okay, probably because I'm not famous yet. What is the easiest way that I can get this script turned into a movie? And I go, well, comic books are always being licensed, even if they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the plan to turn the Protector into a comic book, in which I had contacted DC Comics, and I had met an editor there, and the guy read the script, and he goes, this is terrible.
Oh,
and I'm like, and I literally said, fuck you, you're stupid. And I walked out, and I basically said, all right, I'll put this on the back burner, and I'll get to this one day. And sure enough, my dad, on my birthday, my 28th birthday, came up to me, and he gave me a gift, and it was 6 pages of my script illustrated. And I'm like, I looked at him, I go, okay, where's the rest? I go, you do not just give me 6 pages of this and call it a day. This is not a gift. This is a sample. I want the rest, damn it. And so, you know, a year goes by, and he produces the rest of the book. And I realized the reason why DC Comics didn't get it at the time, not only apart from the fact that they're retarded, was because we didn't have a real visual. We just had some key art that I did. We didn't have, and on my dad, his artwork is legendary. It's so rich and vibrant that it'll blow, you know, any penciler out there. So, you know, even my own artwork, fails to compete with his. So anyway, it was nice to have that, and now we finally had something. And we shopped that around, and I found Brimstone. I'm like, okay, look. And he goes, I want it. Brimstone just wanted it, period. He goes, when the hell can I get the rest of it?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell him a little bit about your dad's work?
My dad is actually a professional illustrator. He started out 40 years ago working at Marvel. He drew for a couple of comics. John Romita Sr. was his editor. Then he quit, and he ended up moving to into graphic illustration and everything. And then he did TV Guide, Bradford Exchange, and a whole bunch of other things. But, yeah, his career is pretty badass. Where he's at right now is he has his own storyboard company. Now he storyboards commercials for TV.
Oh, sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds like we lost a couple of people.
You're about to lose me, guys, because I'm about to shoot a movie.
Oh, do you need to go?
I do need to go. I'm glad that I got to do this interview, though.
Sorry.
It's quite all right. Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much for taking some time to come on the show. And good luck with everything else, of course. It's very interesting. I'll check out more of the YouTube videos, and I'll put some links to all that stuff in our show post when we post this on Wednesday.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care, Chris.
Later.
Bye, Chris.
Bye.
Bye.
Put some purple feathers in the movie for me.
I just found one of your feathers in my bag.
They get everything.
They do. It's terrible.
All right.
It's like a plague, like on a ship. They could just get into everything.
Yeah, I can't wait to go back to the Forest of Fear and see if my feathers are still there.
Hola.
Hola, hola.
Hola.
Yes, what? But poor Vicente keeps getting dropped. Why is this?
Well, we're connecting to another country across a giant ocean. So
I thought it was just
really?
It's no excuse, Fez. You should make this work.
It's not my fault. I have a subscription and everything.
Everything's your fault.
The only reason why I question that is because the whole reason why I'd originally gotten Skype was because my sister lives overseas. And so I could talk to my niece and my nephew. And I never have a problem like that. That's why I'm wondering if there's a conspiracy.
Do you have seven people connected at a time?
A conspiracy writer.
I'm trying to wonder. I probably usually only have three of us at a time, maybe two or three of us at a time.
That could be it.
Okay. So it's not a conspiracy.
All I have over here is a button to click to add Vicente. And
hello,
that's it.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Vicente. Gusta qui.
No, hello.
Vicente. Oh, no.
They keep dropping poor Vicente.
I blame Fess. That's what I do. But then I blame him for just about everything.
I know the famous Spanish singer named Vicente Fernandez or something. I grew up listening to him. My mom was always playing.
All right. Apparently we had some issues with the vocal chat room as well. It doesn't like if I don't type something into the chat room, and then it just disconnects the whole thing, so we had to come back. So we're back. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the website in general.
Well, I'm home with a demon, so I burn it to the ground. I'm home with a demon, so I burn it to the ground. I'm home with a demon, so I burn it to the ground. I'm home with a demon, so I burn it to the ground. I'm home with a demon, so I burn it to the ground. Burn it to the ground, now I don't make it sound. Down at the crossroad, here I'm on my trail. Down at the crossroad, here I'm on my trail. Down at the crossroad, here I'm on my trail. Down at the crossroad, here I'm on my trail. Trail and I gotta make bail. Yeah. Well, didn't lie my neighbor, so I kick him in the nads. Didn't lie my neighbor, so I kick him in the nads. Didn't lie my neighbor, so I kick him in the nads. Didn't lie my neighbor, so I kick him in the nads. Didn't lie my neighbor, so I kick him in the nads. Kick him in the nads. There was women's up for grabs. Down at the crossroad, hell on my trail. 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 Down at the crossroad, hell on my trail.
That was Hellhound on My Trail by Black Velvet Elvis, found at musicalley.com by Mevio.
Are you gonna give us some chicken recipes?
I'm here? No. Well, you got to buy the book, but I will tell you this much. When you put something that tastes good on the chicken, it makes the chicken taste good.
Amazing. We'll put some pizza.
Dirty stuff makes it taste delicious.
Some pizza on my chicken.
Why is that... whenever you eat something, you don't know what it tastes like. You always say it tastes like chicken.
I don't know.
No, you want to know why? When people like eat a new kind of meat, and they're like, "Ooh, it tastes just like chicken." That's because they cooked it like it was chicken.
Oh, that must be the reason. Because I've heard iguana tastes like chicken.
Iguana, really?
Yeah, people eat iguanas in South America, yeah.
I've also heard that snakes taste like chicken.
Yeah, I was going to say I've heard that snake and that alligator actually tastes like chicken.
Well, you know, you're pointing out all these types of reptiles, you know, and I think the chicken's ancestors were also reptile. So that could be.
Yeah, that must be.
Well, I don't know what's happening with Mina here.
Actually, you eat iguana eggs.
You eat iguana eggs, really?
Yeah. You know where they grow their eggs?
I don't want to know.
In their uvulas? What?
They grow them within themselves. So people catch iguanas, open them up, get the eggs out, and then sort of leave them back in the wild. So you may catch iguana with 3 or 7 cats.
So wait, they catch the iguana, they extract the eggs from them, and then put them back out.
Sew the iguana up and let her go.
That is crazy. I don't know
how
I feel
about that. Was this when you lived in Venezuela?
Well, this in Venezuela is very common. That I mean, not everybody, but the people from the country do that.
So there's a bunch of iguanas running around with C-sections.
Oh, jeez, that is. I don't.
You gotta have an. You gotta have a patient to open up and take the eggs out.
Oh, jeez, that sounds horrible.
And if you don't cut your fingers, it's not painful.
I you know what? I take it back. I don't think I'm coming to dinner, Vicente.
I don't eat iguana. We are in Spain. We have all the foods that are quite good. Next time you come here, I'm going to make a paella for you.
I would love paella. Because AJ actually has been asking me. He said Vicente was supposed to send me his paella recipe.
Yeah, well, I will. I will.
Before it's too late.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, you got to see someone do it.
Okay. So make a YouTube video. All right.
Yeah, I'll make a video of that.
Sweet.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm down with that.
It's part of the, what is it, the Hound Food Tidbits.
Yeah.
Let's put him up, you know, him doing the recipe. That'd be cool.
That'd be very cool.
Yeah, it sounds okay, this comic book about recipes. I mean, it must be fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, well.
The graphic novel, the cookbook.
Next time I go to the States, I'll check it out.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
All right, I think we got Mina back.
Yes,
yay!
I'm back.
And
boo.
All right, let's move on to our next segment. I want to talk about the Hound Comics website in general, the Hound Comics Inc., the whole idea of this, and if anybody's here able to speak of that.
I think he thought he got dropped, but he's still here. Okay. No, he got dropped.
Oh, no. So, all right. So I think, Lush, are you going to be the foremost authority on this section?
Do you have a particular question about it, or you just want me to go crazy on it?
Well, so there's the houndcomics.com, and from what I gather, Brimstone and the Border Hounds were the only comic that were a part of this, but it seems to become sort of almost like
a hub
or a production company or such.
I mean, it's more like Hound Entertainment Group is basically what it is now, more or less, basically, because, I mean, we've umbrellaed out into so many other things that we're doing besides just the comics, though. I mean,
right. Comics
is fun, but we're doing so many other things at this point because we have so many people that work with us and gotten involved on, you know, the game we call business we've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the comics. We've actually had the animated Border Hound series that's been in the works. We're actually waiting to hear back from a network. We have, you know, the cookbook. We've actually have now Hound Publishing. We're actually publishing books that are like books, not actual comic books. We have a Hound Kids division, which actually it's probably one of the more newer things we've been doing, and which is making up a lot because we have a bunch of kids books in there and a bunch already ready to start coming out. Like, we have the Border Hounds series where they're kids, so it's the Border Pups. We have a Peter Mayhew collection where he's done a couple of books, and Rich Ahrens, who a lot of people don't know his name offhand, but his but they know the names on the things he's worked on, like Freakazoid.
Tiny Toon Adventures, Freakazoid, a lot of the Saturday morning cartoons that were on, like, done by Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone that doesn't know who Peter Mayhew is, Peter Mayhew is Austin Chewbacca, who is in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool guy. But, you know, not everyone knows that, because we're not all Star Wars geeks.
Yes, he's back.
And he's gone.
So,
you know, just stop acknowledging it. Maybe he'll stay.
let me go back to... So what was the decision to expand into, to like, at least getting other comics onto the site? What was the idea behind that?
Well, I mean, we had the basic Border Hound story.
Right.
You know, the flag brand, the main one we started off with. But in doing, because we started off as our own company doing our own comic, just much like any other comic company, you know, you want to expand and have other titles under it, just like all the other companies. So
it was to give more people a chance to get started. And it would also just expand our library and hit more of a demographic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I understood. I understood that's one of the reasons why I was brought in, is to hit a broader range.
Yeah, to expand. So we kept our eyes open and came across, you know, two other titles that we liked a lot, that just, you know, caught our eye.
So,
you know, they had that special twinkle.
So you got this idea to become essentially a production company.
Yeah.
And then there's this animated series thing, which I only see like the title sequence video anywhere. So could you explain the animated series idea or what's going on with that?
I mean, the comic book got a lot of popularity, and I mean, we just figured it was one thing that we could go into. And we started talking with this company called Loading Pair Productions that we had met, and they were very interested in working with us. So we, you know, we sat down, discussed doing a cartoon. They did, yeah. At the moment, we just have the opening sequence because we're talking to a couple of different places about who wants to pick it up. So we're waiting to find out who's going to pick it up, and we're going to go production, because it's a matter of when they pick it up, you know, what exactly you want to do it, because we can still go a little more children friendly, or we can also go more like that adult twin, where it's a little more scale, like subject matter. No matter if you pick it up, that's
you're cutting in and out quite a lot, Lush. Yeah,
it sounds like a Skype issue.
I guess I'll pick up where he left off.
No, I'm reconnecting. All right, I think that worked. Lush, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You sound perfect now.
All right, cool. So I think you were saying that you're talking with an animation production company, and you were still deciding whether or not how you wanted to go with this, more adult or a little bit more more ages friendly. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a matter of we've been talking to some major networks, so it's a matter of when the network picks it up, it's a matter of who picks it up and how they want, you know, where they want to put it in scheduling. Then it's a matter of how we do the episodes.
Okay, I see. I gotta ask, is the series at all somewhat inspired by Metalocalypse at all? It just has a little bit of that extreme feel to me.
Yeah, Brendan Small's Metalocalypse. It does feel like that.
Not particularly. Actually, it's funny, a couple of people have mentioned that. But I think a lot of that comes from the music that we have, the opening music, which is actually done by our friend Bumblefoot, who's like currently in Guns N' Roses. I think it's the music that actually gives a lot of that feel to it that a lot of people have mentioned.
Well, it's not just that. It's also the type of animation that's being done. It is a flash form of animation, so each of the characters are actually built up. And that's the same way they do it on Metalocalypse. Is each of the characters will be a standalone character build, which will then move each individual piece. So it's a very similar art style.
Well, I was more so asking whether or not it's like, you saw that and it's like, we could do that, or something like that. Oh. But I think I got my answer, which is basically, not really. Trying to think of what else there is to talk about. I mean, if you just go to the website, there just seems to be a whole lot of, well, stuff.
Yeah. A lot of there's a lot going on there. Yeah, I mean, I've had people come up and they say they've gotten lost because there's so much stuff, and it's just because we have so much going on. I know.
It's because you have so much stuff.
Things, yeah.
Let's see here. Let's see if we can try to bring this home. What are some things that are coming next for HoundComics.com? Things that are coming up.
Well, just in general with Hound Comics, there's a lot going on. We're actually in the middle of talking with one of the largest backpack companies in the country, if not the world, called eSport. We're actually in the middle of talking with them. We're going to be making a big announcement fairly soon about something we're going to be doing with them. Connected to the cookbook, and then also another thing that's going to be coming out is there's a chef out of Pennsylvania known as the Dirty Chef, who we're actually including in the cookbook, who actually has this, I guess it's flavoring they call it dirty.
Okay.
And the website.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah, it's a great taste. It's discoverdirty.com if you guys want to check it out. But we're going to be doing a couple of things with them coming up soon, too. What else is there? Well, you know what? Who else can tell you a little bit something? I actually have Brimstone himself here next to me, too.
Sweet.
If you want to ask him a couple of questions.
I think I already asked everything that at the top of the show.
Well, I mean, he can tell some stuff too.
Well, what does he think about what has become from just a wrestler character to a comic book to what it is, what the whole site is now?
Yeah. What's going on? How's everyone feeling out there?
It's going quite all right.
What's going on? Listen, I've been hearing this echo. It's been driving me absolutely crazy, so I had to come and see what was going on. So I heard the question. Basically, I think it's phenomenal. It's every little kid's dream to become a comic book character, video game character, kids book character, an animated character, and so forth and so on. You know, and I've gotten to live everything out. So I'm kind of very, very excited, as I know Lush is as well. And, you know, we started this company literally a little over a year ago, and it has turned into its own sort of monster. And it's very exciting. Every single day we brought on phenomenal talent like Erica and Vicente, the Notarellis, Mina. We have Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca from Star Wars, Terry Naughton from Disney. We're bringing on another 12 animators doing their books from Disney as well. Doing a couple of things with some Star Wars people that you'll want to stay tuned at HoundComics.com with. Rich Ahrens, who, again, I know you guys talked about earlier. He's from Animaniacs, Tiny Toon. He did He-Man. I mean, he's a legend. he got a Peabody Award and an Emmy. I mean, you know, we're playing with some major players here, and we just keep building. So, I mean, remembering what it started out as, it's an amazing, amazing thing. And I believe that everybody's done an amazing job in helping to build the Hound Entertainment Group. We've done everything now and expanded from, the comics into, like Lush said earlier, the Border Pups and the Hound Kids division. We have foodhoundtidbits.com. So when we travel around the world, we're basically stopping and doing, kind of like a diners, drive-ins, and dives. Is that what it's called? Kind of that type of thing, except our own take on it. And we're doing reviews, let people see, different eating spots around the world from Hound's point of view. Put it this way, when you're in Hound and you're on the road, you never go hungry. We've expanded into, a lot more philanthropy. We've gotten involved. Aside from Anti-Bullying Foundation, one of our authors, Jamie Isaacs, with the Jamie Isaacs Foundation, who, if you're not familiar with her, is the youngest person in history to have ever actually helped to write a bill and pass a law in New York State against anti-bullying. She was featured in People magazine and so forth for it. But we're also going into, as you heard earlier, a snippet of the cookbooks. So we have Luscious, great big fat book of Luscious Chicken with me doing the artwork. We have just a little bit of brand new news. We signed on Danny Gagnon from Top Chef, who's going to be doing his cookbook following the Luscious cookbook. We're doing a lot of things with right now. I know we have a contest online, which any of your listeners can check out at houndcomics.com. You can check out the Bumblefoot from Guns N' Roses. We're doing a little contest. So if you want to learn more about that, you know, it's basically as easy as popping on and shooting us a picture of either yourself, a drawing, or whatever, of you and Bumblefoot's beard. It's very, very interesting. You might want to check that out yourself. It's become an instant hit, which is a phenomenal thing. And I know I could talk forever, so I'll sit here. And if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I think that brings us to full closure here on the show. But you know, thanks very much for all that information. Mark, you've been awfully quiet.
Oh, there's so many people on. I didn't want to make a mess.
Mark, now you can sing a song to us.
I can sing a song?
Please do.
Somebody wants me to sing a song. Usually it's
sing
the
fishnet
way, right?
Song.
The what?
You know the fishnet song?
No.
Roly poly fishheads?
Oh, is it Monty Python?
I don't think it's Monty Python. I think it's Dr. Demento from back in the 70s.
Dr. Demento, and the guy who sang it was Barnes and Barnes. Oh. Don't ask me why.
In any case. Yeah, I normally find a Podsafe song to stick as one of the breaks on this show. So I'll see what's out there and stick it on there unless there's a musical track specifically meant for Hound Comics.
I have an original song that was written for M3.
You do?
Ooh. Yes, I do. Hello? It's called Scarecrows. It was written by a phenomenal musician named Ryan Hobler. He's a good friend of mine. And he wrote an original song called Scarecrows for M3.
Awesome.
I can also send you the song that's the opening for the Brimstone animated series done by Bumblefoot. I can send you that file, too.
There you go.
Yeah, looks, the drawings may look good.
Yeah, we can certainly do that as long as we have permission to put it on the thing. You know, that's the whole thing. You want to make sure we're not breaking copyrights anywhere. So,
because Fesh is uptight about that.
I mean, I'm not uptight. I'm just being, you know, considerate
uptight.
And careful.
Fesh doesn't want a lawsuit.
Yeah. So
there's also a Luscious song I did when we did the November contest. I wrote like a 2 minute, minute and a half long song.
All right. Well, if you guys want to figure out what you want to send me, and I'll stick one of the songs, in the show during the break.
Sounds awesome.
Excellent. This show's gonna, like I said, the show should be out on Wednesday. I forgot to ask if anybody wanted to draw the cover, but you know it's kind of last minute now. But let's see here. We have, once again, this is at the end of the Webcomic Peek in this episode 222. Holy crap, that's a lot of episodes.
That's an awful lot.
Hey, Vicente, are you still with us?
He might be. Vicente?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, Vicente, why don't you draw them, do you think you could draw them a cover for the webcast beacon?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Another knife on the neck?
No, you don't have a knife at your back.
That's the only way you can get him to draw anything. You have to put a knife at his back.
You just drop me a note.
Yeah, here's. I'll post a link in here. This when I remember, I ask people on the show that are going to be on if they'd like to draw. Our mascot is Becky Beacon, so I just usually let people draw her however they'd like to draw her, and that usually goes on to the show cover. And if you guys can't, that's no big deal, of course. But
get my address from Eric and send me Send me the character, and I'll see what I can do.
All right. Let's see here. I'll also post the art page, because the art page, we've had like well over 100 different people draw her so far. I need to update the page. It's kind of, I haven't updated it in like several months. I'll go ahead and post that.
Let's see.
But let's go over here as we sign off for the day. We had, earlier on, we had Chris Notarelli from The Protector. Who was joined us by telephone and had to leave to do some more important stuff. So thanks once again to Chris for being on the show. From the comic M3, we've had Erica Schultz. Thanks for coming
on. I'm still here.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
And Vicente, also from M3, thank you very much for coming on. I apologize about the connectivity problems.
It's all right. Skype is yours.
Yeah. And from Hound Comics, from a couple of different projects, we've had Mina Sandwalt. If I said
Hello.
That right. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Eddie Luscious Castillo.
You're gonna get scolded by all the Spaniards now.
Hey, the important thing is that I'm actually trying.
Damn you, Fess.
Oh,
that
on.
Is true. Some people just give up on the cast.
Luscious here. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having us. So.
And once again, you can check out everything at houndcomics.com. Go ahead and check out their comic previews. If you like what you see there, go ahead and buy their comics and check out all the rest of their site, because there is so much to all check out on the rest of the site. Thanks.
Yeah, we're also at every Barnes & Noble around the world, so I mean, if you can't get online, find us in the store.
Excellent. And once again, this has been Fess of ArgerComic.com for the Webcomic Beacon.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.